Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Love these guys. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping just by going to blueapron.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email me your ghost story audio file. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those to us. Join us on many social networks. On Twitter, it's at Ghost Story Radio. Instagram, Ghost Podcast. Snapchat, Ghost Podcast, and of course we're up on Facebook. And if you've been watching us on Facebook as of late, I decided to take it up a notch.
What'd you do?
Well, you know what we're doing, the video replies.
Yeah.
Instead of just the same old, you know, like, you know, button click or the heart or the emoji or the quick comment. But you know what? If you're taking the time to interact with us on Facebook, I am going to do my darndest to reply back with a video. Considering it's what we do, we talk verbally all day. We're not necessarily, you know, communicating via, you know, the word or written word. I thought, let's do it that way.
Yeah.
So to the best of our ability, I'm trying to do that. There was one thread we had going the other night where it was about favorite... what was it? It was
was it kind of creepy Halloween movie or creepy Christmas movies?
Might have been. Yeah, I think it was creepy Christmas movies. And we got on the habit of replying back to a whole bunch of them. Then they started kind of repeating a little bit as far as the same movie. So I felt I'm not going to repeat the same, you know, reply back, you know, 10 times. But
yeah,
I've been really trying to do that well. So if you want to interact with us and chit chat a bit and do it kind of all the time on Facebook, Just look us up there, Real Ghost Stories Online. It's a lot like doing the Facebook Live, except I can reply back whenever throughout the day, and you get a video.
And the girls help, too.
Yeah, I've been going for walks with the girls, so I'm getting some exercise, too. and they enjoy chatting, so you may get a reply back from a 4-year-old or a 10-year-old. I'll be there, too, in most cases. We should just let them reply. Just,
no.
Here's the thing, you reply.
I'd be so scared of what Harper would say.
She had a good one the other day where it was something about it was something about a gift, but she told someone that they could have candy canes in their stocking, but only one candy cane in their stocking. But she's very, very particular on how generous she'll be.
Yes.
So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to our first caller of the day, and it is Amanda. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Amanda, and my story isn't really of seeing ghosts, but it's more of something that happened after my dad passed away that gave me a little bit of solace in my grief over losing him. And my father passed away 10 and a half years ago in June of 2006. He died from pancreatic cancer. Passed away very quickly, was diagnosed in February of that year. So he was here for, you know, a good amount of years. And when he passed away, it was very quick, especially the day that he died. It was a very quick day. And I was already in the process of moving in with him, and he lived in a small trailer, and I was about to live with him and start taking care of him a little bit more intensely than I had before. And so when he passed away, there was a huge void in my life of space that I used to fill with time with him that I no longer was filling. And I was going through his belongings, you know, I was really attached to all of his things. I like couldn't let any of it go for a long time. And I'd gone through everything, every box, everything, multiple times. And then the Christmas stuff was always my favorite stuff. That was always between me and my dad. And we, Christmas is just very special for time for us. We're not Christian people, just the time of year and generally being together, that meant a lot to us. But anyhow, I was going through Christmas stuff 2 years later, setting up for Christmas, and I open a box, and there's these two white boxes that I'd never seen before. I open up one and pull out the styrofoam container that was holding whatever was inside, and I open it up, and I realize that it's a little figure or a little stand that eight little Fabergé eggs stand on little different tiers of this little stand. And Fabergé eggs was something that my mom really loved and something that, you know, I always thought was really pretty. And so I open up the both of these boxes and I realize that one set is purple, which was always my favorite color, and one set was a really pretty rose pink color. And that was always my mom's favorite color. And I realized that, or I thought at the time that, you know, I could have sworn I'd gone through all of these boxes. Like, I had been through every little thing. I missed him so much. Like, I had to touch everything. I knew every inch of everything. And yet these two boxes I somehow missed. And it was as if my dad had bought these for, like, a gift for us. But my dad was alive for my birthday, and he was alive for Mother's Day. So it wasn't gifts he was going to give us for those. And he was alive for Christmas. So there was no reason for him to have had these gifts for us, because he was never the kind of person that could just hold on to gifts. He had to give them to you. And, you know, if it was like a month from your birthday and you got a gift you thought you'd like, you were getting that gift a month before your birthday. So to find those Fabergé eggs, just it put something in me that I just was like, well, I guess he just wanted to make sure that I had a Christmas present from him this year. And, you know, every time I look at that little stand of Fabergé eggs, I always get a little sad and a little happy at the same time, because it's like my dad was just letting me know, I know this is really hard on you, but here you go, something, one last thing to think of me for. So, you know, there's a bunch of other things that have happened to me in my life that have always been really weird. I always seem to have really weird small world connections that happen to me all the time. But and sometimes I just know things. I don't know why I know what's going on. I just do. And the more I've been listening to the Ghost Stories Online podcast, the more I realize, you know, maybe some of these things that I've been kind of brushing off as, you know, just like funny coincidences or, you know, small world connections, but maybe it's a little bit something more. So, you know, that's my story. I've actually got another story about me and my dad seeing the same ghost. I think it was a ghost. My Wiccan friend says it was maybe an astral projection. But that's another story, which I'll save for another day. Hope you like the story. Sorry I kind of rambled. But yeah. Thanks for the podcast. I love it. I listen to it every single day while I'm at work. It's a great way to pass the time, and feels really nice to listen to people express their story. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I think it's interesting that it was completely out of his personality to have kept that gift for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really neat that she was able to get that after the fact.
And then for it to just be there at the right place, mm-hmm, and the right time. I think that's a pretty clear-cut story. It's interesting where she made the observation of, like, yeah, I hear these stories, and the wait, you know. Mm-hmm. Suddenly these other things kind of make sense, too. you know, and that's not how she termed it, but that's kind of, I think, what she meant.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I think you get more of that the more you listen to the show. Some things start to add up to a little bit more than what you may have otherwise thought they were. Thank you for sharing that story with us here on the show. In just a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories Online, at the other end of the show, we're going to talk to Jerry, who is the host of a podcast called Hillbilly Horror Stories. Mm-hmm. This is kind of fun. It's about ghosts. It's not like what's the derogatory end of hillbilly where you kind of think just, you know, bad things, if you will. It's more so just horror stories, from what I'm gathering, you know, southern horror stories,
yeah,
from that region of the country.
Yeah.
So don't think it's like hee-haw horror stories or anything like that.
No.
It's a good one, and he'll tell us about that show. He's actually was a listener to our show, and it kind of inspired that show. So it's interesting, and he does it with his wife as well. So we'll talk to him in just a little bit, so stick around for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is Holly, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm going to share a story my mother told me. So my mother was 13 years old at the time, and she and her mom were going to stay the weekend with her grandma. And so they had to stay in the back room. My mom said she hated staying in that back room. It always gave her the creeps. And she said it was always cold, so cold that sometimes you could even see your breath. And so, her mother told her, whatever you do, do not wake up grandma. She sleeps with a gun under her pillow. So they're there, and they fall asleep, and her mom takes sleeping pills. So her mom was knocked out. There was no waking her up. So my mom wakes up in the middle of the night, and she sees someone sitting in a chair in the corner of the room. The room's totally black, so she assumed it's her grandma. She's like, well, what's grandma doing in here? So she walks all the way. She's probably a foot from her face. And she sees, oh my God, that's not my grandma. It was a woman who had long black hair, and she had a nightgown on. And my mom said that the nightgown, how she would describe it, was from the days of the cowboys. And she said, thank God, her eyes were closed. My mom said she was terrified. She ran to the bathroom. She's pacing back and forth. What do I do? What do I do? So she got brave enough, and she ran back to bed and put the covers over her until she fell back asleep. And so the next day, she tells her mom and her aunt, and they start laughing at her, making fun of her, not believing it. So a couple months later, her mom goes to stay back at her grandma's house by herself, and she has to stay in the back room. Her mom said, for some reason, someone woke her up. She was woke up, and she looks, and the woman is standing at the foot of the bed, staring at her. And she saw the exact same thing. She saw the dress from the cowboy days, the long black hair. And I thought that was kind of ironic that she's laughing at my mom, and she happened to see her, but this time a lot worse. Could you imagine that staring at you? But I thought that was kind of interesting, so I wanted to share that. Thank you.
I think when you get to see them twice, there's no doubt. You know, your family can laugh at you and make fun of you and say whatever they will, but you see it once, you can kind of write it off. Maybe I didn't see that, but you see it twice, there's no doubt.
And what it really comes down to more than anything is just the acceptance, I think, in yourself that you experienced something, not always someone else validating it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people have the experiences and they end up telling other people, or they've even experienced it with other people. And there's still always going to be that level of trying to seek out some validation there, I think, mm-hmm. until you really just accept this exists.
Right.
And then you can kind of be at peace with the situation. No other person believing you, quote unquote, is going to, I think, give you that. Mm-hmm. I think you may seek it and want it and think, oh, this will make it. Nope. That's not really going to help. So it's more so, I think, you know, interpersonally feeling that and accepting that that'll make all the difference. Let's talk about something that'll make all the difference at dinner time. Blue Apron. We love these guys. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and there is a reason for it. Their stuff is just good. We've tried other ones, quite honestly, over the last year or two, and Blue Apron is always the one that that I just rave about and say, these are the real deal. These are the guys. If you're going to do this, this is the one to go with because it is such good quality stuff. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible for everyone. And what I really like about it is the fact that I don't have to go to the grocery store to get all my ingredients. It all comes to you, all portioned out, all ready to go. And there's not a lot of waste, if at all, which you have when you kind of go grocery shopping. So that's really important to me, that we're not wasting a ton of food. And when you waste that food, you're also wasting your money. That doesn't happen with Blue Apron. Cooking together, you can do it with your significant other, with your kids, with your family. It's really fun, and it's so easy. These step-by-step recipe cards they give you couldn't make cooking at home any easier. And you're looking at food that tastes like you got it from an amazing restaurant, and it's for under $10 a person. You can't really go wrong. This month, spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage, pork chops and garlic with scallion rice and spinach, mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas, lime sour cream, and that's just to name a few of the great things on the menu this month with Blue Apron. Check it out for yourself. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. You can't go wrong there. Free food, everybody. First three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/ghost. You will love how good it feels. It tastes. Create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. If being a little more nutritious with what you put into your body this year is on your list, then these guys will help you do that. Check it out. blueapron.com/ghost. That's blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Ashton. Hi.
Hi, my name is Ashton. I was listening to your podcast today. I was listening specifically to the episode Hidden Haunting. I think the girlfriend wrote in and her boyfriend's name was Jack. She said they met at church or something like that. I've got one story to tell about my own grandmother. And I'm sitting here at work. I refuse to call or listen to the show while I'm at home because I refuse to let anything follow me home. So I have to listen while I'm at work or while I'm out and about because I'm superstitious. But I'm reading a book right now. And I swear to God, this is all related. I'm reading a book right now called The Haunted. It's by Robert, I think, Caron, C-A-R-R-A-N. And he wrote it in... he wrote it with Ed and Lorraine Warren about the Smurl haunting in Pennsylvania. And one thing that struck me about the listener who wrote in about her boyfriend Jack is that a lot of what happened with her story, with the stroking of the hair and the whispering in her ear, was very similar to a lot of the things that I am reading about in this book right now, about this really, really powerful demon. And I know that you guys happen to have like a lot of contacts who can help this woman with things like that. And so I just wanted to call in and let her know that, you know, there's a book I think she should really read. It's just called The Haunted by Robert Caron. And I think she needs to read that and take another deeper look about what's going on or what has gone on there. Maybe it's over by now. And I really hope it is, because it sounds like a classic case of something not so nice. But my own story, I figure if I'm going to put you through all of my worries and my superstition, I should at least make it worth your while. My own story is that my grandmother and my mother and aunt have always had a very, very tumultuous relationship since the day, you know, since before I was born. They've always, my mother and her sister are very close in age, and I think that has something to do with the sibling rivalry. My grandmother happened to, her second marriage was to a man who became very wealthy. Throughout the course of their marriage, he helped work on the original software that became the ATM machine. It wasn't the ATM machine, it was whatever prototype that became the ATM machine later on in our society. But she died a very wealthy woman. However, there was a trip that my aunt and my sister, my aunt and my mother took to New York in November, roughly, of 2015. It's now November 2016. It's been about a year. But we all knew that in the family that that was going to be a horrific experience and it was going to end disastrously, and it did. They did not end on very nice terms, and everyone came home to Texas from New York, and things continued over with the family drama. And long story short, there was a falling out between me, my sister, and my mother, all on our side, and my aunt, my cousin, and my grandmother. That's a long, boring story. What's important is that my grandmother had just beaten cancer, and she had a heart condition that no one really knew how serious it was. Until April of 2016, I was actually doing a local community theater show, and it was Tech Week, right before we had our preview night of Mary Poppins. And I came up during intermission to change into my Step in Time costume, and I had three missed calls from my mother. And I didn't think much of it because she calls me for every reason under the sun, usually while I'm at work. You know, just kind of, ha-ha, this episode of this Gilmore Girls show that I was watching. And I thought nothing of it until I looked up and my grandfather had been called about 20 minutes later. While we were halfway through the second act of the show, I couldn't call him. So when we finally ended the show, it's about 11:30 at night. And right after that, my parents had come home, or my mom and my sister had come home from New York, my grandmother kind of chided my side of the family, and I kind of got involved at that point. And long story short, all communication was severed between my side of the family and my mom's side of the family. And sorry, I'm at work, and I'm trying to get to a spot that's kind of secluded. But my side of the family had severed ties with my grandmother, and so I get this phone call from my grandfather, called him back, and he let me know that my grandmother had passed away. And it was kind of insane because, you know, she passed away before anybody had been able to say, "I'm sorry." And things had gotten bad enough that, like, even on social media, she had blocked my side of the family, and I had blocked her telephone number. It was all sorts of petty, stupid drama that really shouldn't have happened, but it did. And so about a month after Mary Poppins had closed, I'm asleep in my room. I was moving from one apartment to the next, and so I my room is, you know, strewn about with boxes, and it's kind of empty. And I went to bed that night, and for whatever reason, in my dream, it was Thanksgiving. And my grandmother, who had never, ever in life ever been immobile, is sitting, running around in a motorized wheelchair, one of those, like, little scooter things that you see at Walmart or something, without the buggy, which I found very odd, you know, when I woke up, because she's never been immobile. But in the dream, I've just finished college, and I'm moving from apartment to apartment, and she has some things for me to go out to her car with her to go getting, that she's giving me a chance to sort through before I move, and she's going to get rid of it anyway, so I can go check and see if I want it. And then on our way out to the car, she's telling me about some sort of family reunion that's going on, and she was going to email me the details or send them to me on Facebook. And she just kind of, in the middle of the dream, she's like, oh, that's right, I can't send them to you on Facebook, because she blocked me in real life. And then she said, well, that's fine, I'll text them to you. Oh, that's right, because she had, you know, she'd passed away, and we had no way of communicating with each other before she passed away. And it was at that moment in the dream that she stopped, and she looked at me. And it was like half her face had a stroke, because half her face just went limp, and the other half of her mouth, especially, her lips started to quiver like she was going to cry. And, you know, at that point I was, oh, no, I jumped in. I was like, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm not hurt. I'm not angry at you. And then, boom, I woke up. Now, the thing is, I always sleep with my television on or a light on or something. It just makes me feel like there's life in the room. It helps me lull me to sleep. Some people need white noise. I need the light from my TV. So I go into bed with my PlayStation looping something from Netflix, something I didn't mind missing a whole lot of episodes of. And in that particular apartment, it was wired. It's an old apartment. So it was wired so that you had to have the light switch on for anything in the room to work, meaning if I wanted to turn off my light at night, I had to pull the string on the fan to turn the light off in the room. Well, when I woke up from this dream, having spoken to my grandmother, who's, you know, deceased before I had the dream, the light switch was on, but everything in my room was off. Now, I mean, it could have been a power surge, but I was freaked out. So I woke up, and I pulled everything in the room, and nothing would come on. And so I went and I flipped the switch, which was on, meaning everything should have been operational. The switch was up, but nothing would work. So I flipped everything down and then tried again, and it was like everything had slipped. So all of a sudden, I could use it, but the switch had to be down. And there was no other switch in the room, so it wasn't like, you know, I had one up and one down. I just needed to turn the other one on. The polarity had switched entirely, and I really couldn't explain it. And I had a few items from my grandmother's house in my room at the time I had this dream, especially a couple of her hoodies from trips she had taken that she particularly liked. And I'm more of a functional person when it comes to going through things like that. I prefer to take only things that I know I'm going to use and let other family members take things that maybe are more sentimental to them. But the energy in that room for the next month or so lingered. That's the only way I can explain it. It lingered. It was very thick. It was very, very heavy. It wasn't bad, but it was so foreign to me that it just freaked me out. I tried to go other places if I could, or, you know, sleep over back home. I was living in Denton, and I was my parents live in Forney. I tried to go home there, but it was just kind of insane to have this dream. I ran into a friend who does dream interpretations, and I didn't know until I had told her about this story that she even did them, and she told me that that's a classic case of a visitation dream. So that's my story. I just thought I would call in because that first story had really concerned me, and I really want her to be able to get help if she needs it. And then, I just wanted to make it worth your while. So thank you. I love your show. I'm considering becoming an EPP. I just got to move first, and then we'll talk about extra finances that I don't need to spend money on. But you guys seriously have the greatest show ever, and I'm so glad that I stumbled onto it. So thank you for listening. Bye.
I think it's just so neat that we can offer a place where one listener can help another, mm-hmm. you know, and they may be on totally opposite ends, literally, of the world, but seeing something or reading something in a book that makes you think of a story that you heard may help somebody. I think that's great that we can do that.
That's one of the coolest things about this show. And I think it's one of the things we're going to touch on with our friend here in just a little bit. Who hosts the Hillbilly horror paranormal podcast, and it's an amazing thing how all that intertwines.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things where you don't really realize what's going on when it's happening half the time with just the topics you discuss. It's afterwards where you get like a story like that or someone sharing this experience because of that experience, and in turn that continues on now back to the person. Mm-hmm. It's like ping pong.
Right.
With these thoughts. So thank you for sharing that with us. Let's do one more caller before we go to our friend and our interview. Let's go to a caller in Appleton, Wisconsin.
All right.
Where Larry Appleton is. I believe he was also from there, from Perfect Strangers.
Seriously?
I think that was the plot line. I believe Larry Appleton from Appleton. Could be wrong. Here we go. Hi.
Hi, Tony, and all of your family, actually. I'm calling from Appleton, Wisconsin, your home state, and I just had a couple things I wanted to share. One thing is, I was just listening to a past episode from, I think, last summer with Mike, who had the house where the burners kept turning on. I'm surprised they didn't find out from the former owners family if the mother didn't leave her burners on accidentally or turn them on and forget to cook something. That would be interesting to know, because old people tend to do that, and that would have been one thing I'd have questioned had I been Mike. But my stories are this. I wrote in a while back and talked about the fact that I'm in a wheelchair. I have a balance disorder, and although I can walk, I don't do it on a regular basis. And I live in a fairly new home, but I've had my share of experiences here. A couple of my favorites are, once I was getting up from my wheelchair to go into the laundry room, which is a mirror room, and I had felt like an hand on around my cupping my elbow as if to help me walk. The minute I felt it, I kind of froze, and I got all my hair went up on my, you know, body, and I got kind of goosebumps. But I walked, and once I was where I was at in front of the washer and dryer, I didn't feel it anymore. The same sort of thing happened in my kitchen, which is accessible, but I stood up from my wheelchair to do something in the sink, and I felt a hand sort of around my shoulder on my back as if to help me balance. I had the same physical response to that, and then I remembered my former experience and thought, this is okay. I think this is a very helpful thing, helpful ghost or spirit. But recently, I've had some not-so-helpful experiences, both of them while being in bed. One morning recently, very early morning, I had been up once already and went back to bed, and I was laying on my side and I was sleeping, and I felt two very hard slaps or hits on my leg, and I immediately, you know, kind of got up to see what was there, and there was nothing that I could see. It was dark in the room. And I laid back down and didn't even bother looking around to see if I could actually see something. I was just so surprised by what had happened. And then about, I'd say a week after that, my caregiver pointed out some bruises on the outside of my upper arm, and I noticed one on the inside of my arm, and I, you know, we were commenting about where did I get these bruises from, because I haven't fallen in, gosh, about a year, and it was very unusual. And then later on, I was sitting playing with my other hand on that arm, and I noticed that it's exactly where, if you put your thumb on my inner arm and your fingers on my outer arm and squeezed, that's exactly where the bruises are. So it's almost as if something held my arm there with a finger on the inside of my arm and other fingers on the outside of my arm hard enough to bruise it. I really don't know. I didn't feel anything happen to that arm, but it would be interesting to know what it is exactly that's doing this. I believe that I'm empathic. I have had lots of experiences throughout my life, which I will talk to you about at another time, but Any insight from you would be great. I listen to your show every day. I'm trying to catch up on the old episodes as I listen to new episodes, and I hope to be an EPP very, very soon. Take care and have a great day, guys. Right, bye now.
You know, I always go back to when something happens and you have an injury and you can't remember how it happened or what happened. It makes you wonder if maybe sleep, meaning maybe something grabbed her arm in her sleep, and that's why she doesn't remember.
Well, she was saying that she was feeling things like that, mm-hmm. you know, in the world of paranormal things, you know, reaching out to you,
sure.
for lack of a better term. So I could see that being a possibility mm-hmm. for that situation. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. What does the Wisconsin accent come from? Like, what is there's a specific Wisconsin sound. And it, to me, it just sounds like home. It sounds like everyone I grew up around. But I'm wondering, is it just like a mesh of like German and Norwegian? And I'm thinking it's kind of Germany. I could be wrong.
I don't know, because I find that there are just as many northern accents state by state as
yeah.
there are southern accents state by
yeah,
state.
Yeah, there are.
So I don't really know where that comes from.
I just wonder, like, what it's just, you know, melded accent that exists. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Joining us on the show right now is Jerry. He hosts the podcast Hillbilly Horror Stories, and one of our listeners actually made us aware of his show, and then he actually emailed me the same day. It was a really weird mashup of just randomness, which tends
to meet Jerry,
yeah,
and talk about Jerry,
yeah, which
the universe wants us to.
It tends to happen like that. So Jerry is joining us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jerry, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about what got you into the paranormal.
Well, to be honest with you, Tony, I grew up in a haunted house, and started by the time I was 13. And, you know, a lot of children, they see things, and then they're told by adults, oh, you didn't really see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get older, you kind of realize, no, I think I did see that.
Yeah.
And I started looking back at my younger age. And when I was about 5 or 6, we actually lived in a house where my great-grandmother had passed away. We were living with her at the time, and then we kind of took over the house. And I can remember things happening then that I didn't really give any credence to. And as I've gotten older, I can look back now and say, you know, I saw stuff back then. There was TVs turning off and on. There was a situation where I went into a kitchen and I saw something that scared me enough where I dropped what I had in my hand. And like I said, I didn't even mention those things to anybody. And as I got older and we had some really strange occurrences happen in the house that we moved to when I was 13, I just had been fascinated with it for the rest of my life.
When you would bring these things up to anyone, if you would say them to anybody, did you ever have anyone else in your family say, oh, yeah, I've had that happen, too? Or was it always just dismissed?
It's kind of funny, but the first little incidents I never brought up to anybody, not even in later life. But when I was 13 and we moved into the one house that I spoke of, a lot of those occurrences actually happened with other people, so I didn't have to worry about bringing it up to somebody. The first instance that happened in that house, my mother and myself were sitting, and my great-grandfather just passed away. My mother was extremely close to him. She was watching one of those prayer networks. I think it was the 700 Club, not 100% sure. And we were sitting there, and she was talking to somebody off of the prayer line that they gave off TV. And we had an object that was sitting on top of the television that popped off of the TV about 2 feet in the air and just landed on the floor, and we both just looked at each other. And from that point on, everything that happened in that house, it was either she came and got me to come here, or we just all kind of heard it. Two or three of us would hear or see things together. So it was a unique situation in that house.
So when you actually had her around to see these things happen and actually experiencing them in life, was there ever a time where you looked back on some of the previous things that you weren't so vocal about and brought up?
No, I don't think that. I think those are the things that made me think about the other things, but I
okay.
never really brought it up because I almost felt like it was kind of pointless at the time.
it's like she believes now, who cares?
Yeah, you know, I was 5 and I'm, you know, 20 now. But,
sure.
You know.
So tell me a little bit more about this podcast you have, the Hillbilly Horror Stories. And I should say, Jenny just walked in.
Hi,
she's
there.
Here.
Hey, Jen.
So tell us about the show and how it came about.
I'm going to be honest with you, as honest as I possibly could be. The podcast thing, other than sports-wise, I had a couple of sports podcasts I listened to. It was all brand new to me up until about 4 or 5 months ago. And I was stumbling. I figured out that I could go to a podcast catcher and just put in a topic, which I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out. And I put in paranormal because that's always been something I was fascinated with. And I found your show. And for, I have a long commute at my regular day job. I drive 2 hours up and back to Ohio from Kentucky 3 or 4 times a week. And it was a great way to just make that drive seem shorter. So I've listened to so many of your guys' shows, and I was fascinated by the way you did the show. I love the fact that it was you and your wife. I love the fact that you guys talked about your personal life, everything from, driving the kids to school and bringing the kids on every once in a while. That's what I really liked about it. And I started talking to my wife, and I said, I think I could do something like that. And I'm one of these people that if I put my mind to thinking it, it's just a matter of a couple of weeks before I start just doing stuff. So I bought me some equipment. I know I sent you an email. You was very nice to respond back on. And I just said, hey, I'm a stand-up comedian by trade. I've done that for the last 13 years. I'd like to do a podcast and put a different twist on what I've seen out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it all got started. But I wanted to do something. I had a really good friend of mine named Ricky. We used to talk about the paranormal all the time. And I said, man, this guy would be a perfect guy. If the conversations we had were on tape, I think people would like to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I knew you guys. When I listened to you, every once in a while, y'all would throw some jokes and stuff in. I said, I like that aspect of it. And so I said, what I want to do is something a little bit different. Rather than get primarily the listener stories, what I want to do is try to take stories that are from the South, like the Myrtles Plantation or where I live. I used to live in Louisville, where Waverly Hills Sanatorium is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're close to Bobby Mackey's. And I thought, man, I think a lot of people around the country would like to hear some insight on these places rather than just what they see on the Ghost Hunter show.
Exactly.
And that's how it all came to be.
And there are so many stories, especially you're kind of in a pocket area, I say, where we do get a lot of stories from. There's little sects of the country where it seems there's just an influx that stories come out of. And why do you think that is? Why do you think there's certain areas that seem more haunted than others?
Well, I think primarily some places are just older than the others. And when you get in the South, especially South and the Midwest, I'll lump all together. I think you have a lot of tragic situations going on. I mean, you've had it from the slave days, back from the Civil War days. I mean, you look at Gettysburg. I mean, there's so much activity around Gettysburg, but look how much death was around there. And then, like I said, when you start getting places like down South where the plantations were and the slavery and everything that happened from the those days, I mean, there was a lot of hard times for people, and I think that's what contributes to most of it. I mean, this is between the South and the East Coast. This is the oldest part of the United States.
A lot of times, when there's like a lot of struggle and sadness for prolonged periods, it seems.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's why some places, like you take a New Orleans, why it stands out, so much above, so many else. I mean, New Orleans for the longest time, I mean, was, year after year had the highest death rate from one thing or another, whether it be disease or whether it be hurricanes or floods or what have you. And it just goes to show that if you've got a higher mortality rate, you're going to have more occurrences.
Well, and I think, too, with, having been from the South, I think there's a higher concentration of people for a longer span of time that have believed in ghosts.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In your opinion, what's been some of or your favorite or most fascinating haunt that you've covered on your show thus far?
Well, it's funny, Tony, because when I started the show, and I know your show kind of did this a little bit too. I listened to some of the real early episodes, and I noticed your guy's show kind of evolved over the time. From I've listened to you do interviews on the Amityville Horror House and The Conjuring, and where it was basically interviews the whole way through to turn it into the stories. And that's kind of what our show has kind of done, is it's morphed a little bit. We started off thinking, you know, we'll just cover these stories, individual hauntings. And then we've kind of switched now, like we did a show on rock and roll and the occult, mm-hmm. and it got such rave reviews. And then we did another show on that. And then we've done like the true story behind The Exorcist and the true story behind The Entity. So we've kind of just got off the original plan of just doing haunts mm-hmm. to a little bit of everything. But I think the shows that we talked about, music and the occult and Aleister Crowley, we did a whole show on Aleister Crowley. Those have been the shows most fascinating. The show that's got the most interest on an actual haunt is Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
That got us record-breaking numbers. I mean, it did as good in one night as what some of our shows did in a week.
Sure.
It's just, it amazed me.
We've gotten several calls and letters over the years from that location with just, you name it, stories of different things happening there.
It's an amazing place.
What do you think is the cause behind the hauntings at that location yourself?
You know, it's hard to determine because it depends on who you talk to. Now, there's been several different things. Now, that actual location, if you're not really familiar with it, it was a meat house at one point. The basement part was a meatpacking house, so you had all the animals that were killed there, if you're into that kind of thing. And during that same time, there was a couple of guys came down from Chicago. They had a young lady that they actually had killed, confessed to. They were hung not too far away from there. And the head of the young lady was never found. Some people say that it was thrown down the well at the time, which was still the meatpacking house. Some people say it was used as some type of a satanic sacrifice, where a lot of that went on in the area. It later became a club that the mob became involved with. The Cincinnati mob was really big into that part of town, and they actually killed a lot of people and thrown them in the river that was right behind. It's the Licking River right behind Bobby Mackey's. So there could be a lot of that in there. There's no telling how many people were actually killed by the mob there. And then the other big story is that one of the guys who actually owned the club, his daughter was a showgirl there. She got involved with a guy, got pregnant. He killed the young man for getting her pregnant, and then she turned around and killed her dad and then killed herself on the premises. So there's been so much tragedy right there on that spot.
Mm-hmm.
That it's no telling what could be causing all of that.
That's where I think so many of the variables, you know, have come into play with the stories there.
And not to mention the river right there.
Yeah.
So that always, I think it takes it up a notch on your level of how many hauntings you're going to have.
Yeah, because we get so many different stories, and it's very difficult to narrow anything down going, well, it's at this person, is it that person? It's just there's so many damn things that have happened that I think there's just overlapping hauntings. When you have that going on, when you have what would be kind of an overlapping haunting with one ghost from one time period, one from another period, do you ever think that they can interact with one another, the ghosts themselves, or see one another, or are they all on their own dimension, if you will?
You know, it's funny because I seem to think that for the longest time that they would all be in their own dimension. But, you know, listening through so many other different paranormal podcasts and sites, and even listening to your show before, you know, sometimes you get these residual hauntings that you don't know if it's two, I guess, time frames kind of intermingling with each other. And, you know, I've heard people say that they think that when you see a ghost, it's not necessarily a ghost. It's just that you somehow went into their time somehow by, you know, it's just the time warps have matched, and maybe you're not seeing a ghost. You just happen to actually taking a look at when they were alive. And
yeah.
So I don't know. My opinions have tended to morph over time.
Oh, and they will morph much more the longer you do a show about ghosts. I mean, that's one of those things
sure.
where it's been, you know, you go into it, at least I went into it with a, you know, kind of not like a stuck mindset, but just here's all I know about this. And I think I'm pretty confident in this being the ghost family tree. And there was maybe three or four branches of it. Now it's like one of those horrific, you know, weed trees that grow, and they just, there's little branches everywhere and you can't kill them. And they just keep coming back and taking over everything. That's my ghost tree now. It's just, it's so expanded with the amount of stuff that we've heard. It's amazing. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, I was going to say, it's like you said, you know, just by the short time that we've done this, we just did the 18th episode last night.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the short time that we've done this, it's already changed from, okay, we're going to do all these haunts, to now we're doing phenomenons from Ouija boards to what have you. And it's just like, whatever the people tell us they're interested in, we find out that, hey, that's a pretty interesting topic. I mean, we've got people that want us to do one on the Freemasons and whether that's actually involved in devil worshiping and talking about, you know, was the moon landing real? So, you know, I got to draw the line somewhere at some point and say it doesn't fit. But at the same time, if the people are interested, and I'll usually throw it out there and say, hey, would you like to hear something? If we get an overwhelming response, then I'll throw it in the mix. So it has changed from what we originally thought and intended the show to be to what it's actually turned into.
What has been almost, you know, you're almost nearly 20 episodes in here. What has been the most surprising thing to you about doing a podcast? Doesn't have to be about ghosts, just in general, just hosting a show like this.
The most surprising thing to me has been how quickly some audience members have got onto the show and how much it means to them. We had a young lady send us an email probably 3 weeks ago that told us that she lost a son in March of last year to cancer, and she had lost all faith in God. How in the world could he take her little boy? How could he have let him suffer like that? Said that her marriage had suffered. She'd been in a year and a half long depression, and she just, you know, thought about suicide several times. And she had listened to a couple of episodes, and I had expressed on one of the personal episodes, because I try to throw some personal stuff in that's happened to me. And I did a story talking about dimes, how when you lose someone close to you, you can find dimes. You'll notice a lot of dimes being around, and that's them trying to communicate with you. She said that she listened to a story that I told about my mom and to that story that were on two separate episodes, and she realized at that point in time that she had noticed a lot of dimes. And she had felt like now that that was him trying to communicate when she didn't think that there was an afterlife anymore. But now she felt like there was, and she said that we basically gave her her life back. She was going to counseling now. Her marriage was getting better, and she felt like she was alive again now because she felt like her son was in a better place where she had given up hope for that. And when you get letters like that, you're like, we never intended anything like that. We never would have thought we could have any kind of effect on anybody's life other than maybe getting a couple of laughs or saying, oh, I didn't know that. And, you know, we've gotten numerous letters of people just saying, man, I can't tell you how much that means to me and how much your show means to me. And that is probably the most surprising part of this whole thing.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's one of those things you just feel like, you know, you're just sitting in your house doing a show or just joking, you know, with your wife or your friends and reading ghost stories or talking about something that's entertaining and the impact that it can have, you know, some other place anywhere in the world. And it's kind of like, well, there was a reason that we talked about this that day or that day. You don't know why it is or how it is at the moment, but sometimes you get those little pieces of feedback that really make it all make sense and then make it all very much worth it, of course, as well.
No, and like you said, another good example, you brought it up, our listener, Anthony. I mean, I know Anthony's going through some medical issues, and he told me the other day that, you know, that he feels like this actually helps with the recovery process. So, I mean, like you said, nothing can be more important than somebody saying, hey, I've got some type of an illness or what have you, and you guys actually helped me get better. And it's the supreme compliment.
It is. It makes it all very, very worth it and makes sense. Well, Jerry, thank you for talking with us today. Your podcast, Hillbilly Horror Stories. I know iTunes, I'm assuming every other podcast service you're probably out there on too.
Yes, sir.
All right. Check that out. Do you guys have a website yet?
It is hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
There you go.
Simple as it gets.
All right.
Hey, before I get off here, Tony, I do want to say you guys are my hero. Without you guys, I would have never started a podcast because your podcast is what made me want to do this. So thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry. And there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I'm glad that there's another husband and wife that get to do what we do.
It's fun.
It is.
Yeah, there you go. So thank you for chatting with us today, Jerry. We appreciate that, and all the best of luck with that podcast you got going on. You will discover how fun it is and exciting, and you probably already are aware of that, but the road it leads you down is very, very interesting. So there you go. If you like our show, please consider becoming an EPP extra podcast person. That's what fuels this thing and keeps it on the air. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, all like 120-something of them now, exclusive video content, and a lot more. It is all there for you at ghostpodcast.com. EPP.com. Make it your New Year's resolution to be an EPP.
Yeah.
That's the best resolution anyone could ever have. If you sign up for that full year membership, you get the free bunk bed bell as well. And you get a free month as well. So check it out. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.